We return to a story now that we were covering last week, Thursday, and that I promised we would return to. And that was a recent delegation, an Afrikaner delegation, that went to Washington, D.C. And included in that delegation was Gerard Papenfuss, the CEO of the National Employers Association of South Africa. The group met with senior White House officials, and they discussed the future of U.S.-South African relations, among other issues. Joining us on the line is Gerard Papenfuss, who, as I said, is the CEO of NEASA, National Employers Association of South Africa. Gerard, thank you so much for chatting with us again. Just for people who might have missed our interview on Thursday, could you sum up what was the point of that meeting and how it came about?
Well, we met with various people in America, in the Senate, at Congress, at the Department of State, and of course, White House officials, senior officials in the White House. Well, it was to explain the situation in South Africa, what is happening. It was as a result of the meeting that was held in Washington, where the state president was present, and we felt that the message that came across at the White House was not a correct reflection of what's actually transpiring in South Africa. So we briefed, amongst others, White House officials on current state of affairs in South Africa, the economy, what is happening in terms of policy that's negatively impacting on the economy, expropriation without compensation, and various other issues. But that was the purpose, to give, in our view, a reflection of what is happening in South Africa.
And how would you describe the tone of your meetings? Was the United States delegation receptive? Were they critical or even maybe very cautious?
Very receptive. Look, the United States, the administration knows very well what's going on in South Africa. Very, very well. They are up to the minute, up to date on events in South Africa. They know. But they need your input. They needed our input, our opinion and events. So, but in terms of the news and what is transpiring, they are more up to date than what we are. I mean, they know exactly what's happening. When President Trump stood on the tarmac months ago and he said terrible things are happening in South Africa, he knew. He was briefed. That was in a few words a summary of his perception of what is happening in South Africa.
Gerard, no surprise here, but the South African government, and in particular Durco, has dismissed the trip as self-serving. What is your response to government critics who question your mandate to represent South Africa abroad?
Well, I didn't. anyone can. We were invited. Durco is not representing South Africa abroad. Strangely enough, the world has lost actually interest in Durco's input. I have the right, and if I'm invited, I will say, and I can say, that it's my right to give a reflection of what I perceive is going on in South Africa. The department, the South African government, and I'm referring specifically to the ANC, the ANC is no longer the government. There's no government of national unity, but the ANC is the biggest party, has lost huge credibility in the world, and they are trying to create the impression that they still enjoy credibility, but they don't.
If anyone has a question that you would like me to ask Gerard, remember you can WhatsApp me on 061-895-1019. Gerard, there's been strong reaction to your focus on issues like BEE and Kill the Boer chant. How do you ensure that this doesn't come across as a race-based grievance rather than a broader human rights concern?
Well, you know, let's look at what's happening in South Africa. If you look at what is happening with employment, our employment rate is of the highest in the world in terms of non-failing countries. There are certain countries with a higher unemployment rate, but these countries are failed economies. Ours is a failing economy, but it's not yet a failed economy. But we've got a 45% unemployment rate. 62% of our people our young people are unemployed. 62%. That is record unemployment. So if we talk on their behalf as well. So in South Africa, with our race-based legislation, remember there are 145 pieces of race-based legislation that is aimed at excluding whites out of the economy. If you aim to exclude a portion of your own population out of the economy, you do it to the detriment of the entire population. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about this, we're not talking about for us as well only. We talk for all South Africans. Our policies are poor, shockingly poor, socialist, Marxist policies, and with a huge mixture of racism. They are the racism. They are applying racism in the economy. So, you know what? If we say this is not right, well, they can make with it what it wants, but it is what it is. When people chant, kill the poor, kill the farmer, nobody can expect us to remain silent about it.
Of course not.
They call for the murder of farmers. Now we say that's not on, and we complain about it. When they say they're going to introduce expropriation without compensation, that piece of legislation is on the law books. They want to execute it. They say we are going to expropriate land without compensation. Now, when that happens, we will enter the phase where Zimbabwe finds itself in. The economy will collapse completely. Nothing you own will have any value. So, no. Durko say it's self-serving. You know, the ANC is a self-serving party. That is the highest form of self-serving that you can get. So, you know, I'm not bothered about what they say. We're not there for ourselves, we're there for the country.
Gerard, you met with figures that are reportedly aligned with Trump. Was this intentional? And if yes, do you think that this could complicate US engagement if political winds shift?
You know, political winds always shift. Winds shift. That's inevitable that at some point it will shift. But you know what? You talk when the time is right. You utilize the opportunity. We now have access Trump has shown the light on certain things that's happening in South Africa. Very serious things. I mean, all these things that I've mentioned now is serious things happening. There are indeed very serious things happening in South Africa, and our economy is in decline. The country is bankrupt. So you know what? And you know, if you think the ANC is in trouble, that's because not only because of what we said. I mean, the issue that is the case that's made at the ICJ against Israel, relationship the ANC is having with Iran. These are big issues, huge issues in the United States. And I mean, there's legislation introduced to punish the ANC for this. And it's not coming from us. I mean, that is just a fact. So, and I mean, that's a bipartisan issue in the United States. It's across party lines. It's both Democrats and the Republicans that's taking serious issue with the ANC's relationship with the policies and policies that is hostile to the United States.
I'm chatting with Gerard Papenfuss, the CEO of the National Employers Association of South Africa, NIASA. Gerard, we're getting some comments and some questions from listeners. We have one now from Bianca saying, please ask Gerard what is going on with an organization that can represent white women, like the ANC have their women's organization to represent them, because they don't represent white women in context.
Just give me context. Just explain.
I think the question is, you have your ANC Women's League that represents black women. So what is going on with an organization that can represent white women only? I think she's asking, is that allowed, or what should happen with an organization that's white women, like you have the ANC Women's?
Well, of course, if you say, is it allowed? Of course it's allowed. If it's allowed, I mean, you've got the Black Business Council that's promoting black business. BE is promoting black business, and if you have an organization that says I want to represent white women, of course that's allowed.
And then
that is the answer. If can answer that, that's allowed. Yes.
And then we have a comment by Mike Lubo saying, our unemployed numbers exclude the millions of illegal immigrants. Kill the Boer, kill the farmer means the white person, not just the Afrikaans farmer. Boer, when I was in the army in the 1980s, just meant white person.
That's right. That is. That's true. Well, that means white person. That's the meaning of the thing.
I think his question is, when you were talking with the Americans, did you make the point that it's not just Afrikaners that the chant is about? It's about white people as well, and that white people, all white people, are concerned.
Absolutely. You know, there's not a single, you know, if I was to call tonight for the murder of a particular group, I will be arrested tonight. In South Africa, they call kill the Boer, kill the Palmer, and it is clear. If you know, this is one of the most amazing things that's happened in South Africa, is that the appeal court said this is okay. The high court said it's okay. The appeal court says it's okay and says it's only a chant. Malema in the court, in the case itself, said, this is not a chant. I mean it. He said, I mean what I say. The court overlooked that. And the constitutional court, when the matter was appealed to the constitutional court, didn't want to even listen to that. So you know what? I say there's so much prejudice in that court. So if I understand the question correctly, kill the Boer, kill the farmer is aimed at white people.
Mm. Mm.
There's no doubt about it. That is aimed at white people. Malema, who made that chant, says that is what it means.
What was the reaction like from the American side? You said they understand the issue. So what are they going to do with this information?
Well, remember, we had a meeting at the White House, and there were four very senior officials present at that meeting. And at the end of the meeting, just before we left, they said to us, we want to ask you that you do something for us. There are four demands. We want to ask you to take that demands to your government. They know about it, but they take it very lightly. They do not take it seriously. But we want you to tell them we take it seriously. Now, the four demands was that farm murders must be declared a priority crime. The second one is that the ANC specifically unequivocally denounce the chant, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. The third one was that no expropriation takes place without proper compensation. And after all legal processes have been exhausted. And the last thing is that American companies be exempted from BEE. Now, what they said is, the government doesn't take it serious. If you want to restore relationships, a relationship with the United States, sort out these things. So what is going to happen if they don't sort it out?
I mean, that's my question.
Then the relation,
what is going to happen to American-South African relations if those four conditions don't happen?
Well, the point is this. That's why they said it. I mean, these guys are spokespeople of the United U.S. government. Well, in that case, our relationship and trade relationship will suffer. That's when people are, then that's when sanctions come in some form. Duties is a form of sanctions. I mean, there's currently duties. Trump has introduced a 10% duty and another 30% on top of it in 2 days' time. He's given the South African government 2 days, another 2 days until the 9th, to respond on these duties and to come to an arrangement with the United States. As far as I know, nothing's been done. So can you imagine if we want to trade with the United States and we eat with a 40% duty? That means the price of our products entering the United States all of a sudden increase with 40%.
Now,
that is extremely serious. Now, Trump, Ramaphosa jumped on an airplane. He went to the G7 in Canada, and he wanted to go and sign a trade deal with Trump. When he got there, Trump was no longer there. That's a snub. That's a very serious snub. And when Trump was asked, what about the meeting with Ramaphosa, he said he didn't have an appointment with me.
Gerard,
that's very serious, guy. Yeah.
Have you had a chance to have a meeting with government and pass on these four conditions, or they're
not interested? Government knows. No. They know about it, but because they, why do you think they've made the remarks that we were there self-serving? They know exactly. They know. So, of course they know. That's why they expressed it themselves and said they're not bothered. Well, they've responded, so they know. They know.
So what's going to happen? The worst case scenario is going to happen.
Well, you know, there's many things happening currently. One thing is the AGOA agreement between the United States, favorable terms for trade with the United States. I don't know whether AGOA is going to survive. I don't know whether Trump will hit us with a 40% duty, which will impact on the motor trade. The Mercedes-Benz in East London has already indicated that certain production lines are holding back on it. The tire company?
General Motors.
General Motors, the tire company has withdrawn from South Africa. The world is looking at trade in South Africa. That's serious. We find ourselves in a very serious situation, Paula. And remember, there's legislation introduced in the United States that's terrible for the country and terrible for the politicians. The ANC are ignoring this. Apparently, they don't take it serious. My advice to them: take this very serious.
I want to quickly just read two comments. By the way, there is a Black Lawyers Association, but a White Lawyers Association has been blocked. That's from Mike Lubo. And Bianca saying, please ask Gerard if they can't negotiate a less tariff price for our farmers who send beautiful fresh produce to the United States.
Well, when we were there, we did point out, and I mean, that was very well received. We said to the United States, you know, I mean, your issue is currently with the ANC, not with South Africans. And we fought in the United States. We fought and argued for the retainment of AGOA. We argued against the duties. But, you know, Trump is actually not in favor of duties. Trump is in favor of a deal. So he introduced duties and then he says, come to me and let's sort the relationship out. Now, you know, when he introduced the deal, this duties, he did it with all African and a lot of countries all over the world. The other Southern African countries immediately got advice and they got help out of the United States to address these issues. And they got help. South Africa turned away the help.
Gerard, one last question. Do you see this as a once-off diplomatic gesture, or do you see this as the start of future meetings and a broader international lobbying campaign?
The start.
So there's
the short answer.
Good. And with that short answer, we're out of time. Gerard Papenfuss, the CEO of the National Employers Association of South Africa, NIASA, weighing in on a meeting last week by an Afrikaans delegation to the United States, meeting with high-ranking officials. But some very scary scenarios being painted there, 62% unemployment, and the government not willing to listen what the Americans are saying.